here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, October 6th, and the Chicago Marathon is this weekend.
Oh, fun. I didn't even know.
I didn't know either.
Oops.
Funny story. Thursday morning, I kind of got stuck in traffic, but not too stuck in traffic, because I like...
Sure.
A minor inconvenience did not turn into a major inconvenience. So I take one of the Lakeshore Express buses to our offices here at Zach's, and traffic was moving much slower than normal. And I'm like, why? What is happening? Why are there so many cars on Inner Lakeshore Drive? And the bus driver says on the intercom, and it's like, well, you know, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's bright and early Thursday morning. And just a heads up, they're setting up the Chicago Marathon.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. And then I look out the window to Lakeshore Drive, cars dead stop, not moving. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got off right at Sheridan and Belmont before the bus crawled its way up to merge onto Lakeshore Drive.
That's how you learn about urban events when you live in a big city, is when they disrupt your morning commute.
pretty much. But yeah, so the marathon is this weekend.
Cool.
It should be fun. Yeah. Lots of people in town. But anyways, we're here to recap this week's biggest stories in the investment and financial world. But before we jump into the show, we do want to mention that this has been a tough week for everyone here in the U.S. and abroad. And we here on the Finish Line team, we want to send our heartfelt condolences to everyone affected by Sunday night's horrible attack in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're still kind of in the process of learning about what happened and why it happened. And there's a lot of important conversations that are now taking place. And it's really taken over our national conversation in the wake of this latest tragedy. And while we won't be getting into these conversations today on this show, we did want to acknowledge this as a significant event that has certainly been weighing on all of us this week.
Yeah, I know Monday morning, probably like you, that was the first notification that popped up on my phone. I would like to say it's pretty unbelievable, but at this point, nothing like that or something like that is, I guess, pretty common.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But today, on a brighter note, we're going to be talking specifically about two companies that come up on the Finish Line a lot, Amazon and Walmart.
Definitely two of our more talked about brands. And these two retail behemoths have been locked in an ongoing war for some time. And both of these companies were once again in the headlines this week.
Yeah, a funny story. When I said Walmart just a few seconds ago, I thought of that scene from The Simple Life, that reality show with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, when Paris Hilton was like, oh, Walmart, is that the place they sell walls?
Walls, yeah. That's still a good meme. I love that.
It's such a good meme.
Yeah. Paris Hilton is back, by the way. I don't know if
she is back.
That.
She has reinvented herself. Nicole Richie has...
I don't know what she's up to at all.
She's married. She has babies. She's married to one of the Good Charlotte twins. I'm not sure if it's Joel or Benji.
Oh.
I don't know if they're married, but that's the father of her children.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. She looks great. I follow her on Instagram. You should follow her on Instagram.
I'll have to give it a look. Yeah.
Yeah. But Paris Hilton, back in
the
game.
Doing well, yes.
Back in the game. Anyways, Amazon, kind of weird story, not weird, but interesting headline that popped up this week. So after a three-year investigation, the European Commission has ordered Amazon to pay $300 million, chump change, or about 250 million euros in back taxes to Luxembourg, that small little country that was my favorite to point out in math games back in middle school.
Uh-huh.
And the EU's regulator said that the company's regional headquarters in the country allowed Amazon to avoid paying taxes on much of its European profits between 2006 and 2014. Drama.
Mm-hmm. Tax drama.
Exciting
part.
The commission said that Amazon was benefiting from a tax arrangement with Luxembourg, which is considered a tax haven that was illegal. Amazon's holding company in the country has no offices no employees or any business activity, and was therefore not subject to its tax laws. But thousands of other companies have based themselves in the small European country. True, they're not alone. Is not the only one.
Yeah.
And right now, McDonald's and the French utility company Engie are also being investigated for their Luxembourg's tax strategies.
Yeah, but it's like the classic, like, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you follow? Like, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's not illegal. So
the perfect advice your mom gave you. But meanwhile, the European Commission said it would take Ireland to court on Wednesday. It's the whole country.
Yeah.
For failing to collect... collect the $14.5 billion or about 13 billion euros in back taxes from Apple. This is also the same commission that slapped Google with a $2.7 billion antitrust fine earlier this year. So this regulatory body is on a roll this year. They're just going after all of the big tech corporations.
Mm-hmm. Playing no games.
No.
And yeah, and I don't know if you mentioned this specifically earlier, but for those of you who don't know, the European Commission is the European Union's like financial regulatory body.
Yes.
That hands down these sentences. So it's like basically the EU coming down on these companies, but it's this specific commission within the EU.
Yeah. But Amazon has had tax issues here in the States as well. The company was accused of transferring U.S. funds to its Luxembourg-based shell company in order to bypass paying $234 million in taxes for 2005 and 2006. But while Amazon won the case against the IRS regarding this accusation, I think the case was settled like earlier, I think this March, the IRS is reportedly appealing.
Yeah, so two things I want to note here. These things take a very long time to play out. The European Commission's ruling this week was, as you mentioned, profits between 2006 and 2014, and it was a three-year investigation. And this IRS appeal is related to taxes that are coming from 2005 and 2006. Mm-hmm. So we've got that still ongoing from more than 10 years ago. So these financial issues, financial regulatory issues, and these tax scandals, they're very slow moving.
Sorry to like reference another meme, but do you know that meme of Kim Kardashian in the bushes when she's like peeking out, like, hey, yeah, like, hello, like popping out? This reminds like, if you're the European Commission, is Kim Kardashian just be like popping out of the bushes with like tax receipts, like, you need to pay us.
We need to figure out a way that we can share these memes with our podcast listeners.
Because we'll just put them in the accompanying article.
Okay, I will do that. Memes to come in the article.
The Kim Kardashian one is by far one of my favorites. It's a screenshot from Keeping Up with the Kardashians,
sure,
naturally.
Of course, which has been very difficult to keep up with. And we're not even going to get into it.
My gosh.
Yeah, the other thing I want to note too.
Could be a whole podcast episode on its own.
While we're talking Amazon taxes is, of course, as we've covered on the show, have come under the scrutiny of one President Donald Trump recently. So, yeah, it seems like we've been talking about Amazon's tax issues a lot recently, and it kind of Amazon as a leader of e-commerce has also been kind of a leader as to how you handle e-commerce companies' taxes. Because for a while, it was like, oh my God, no sales tax on Amazon. It was too confusing for them to figure out the different state sales tax. So they just were like, we're not going to do it. And then that very quickly changed, but it was, you know, at the very early days of e-commerce trying to figure out what to do there. So yeah, Amazon, big headline there, $300 million. Chump change to some, certainly, to them. Probably will have a minor impact. We'll see how all those appeals and things play out. Moving on, we wanted to mention Walmart now, and kind of a move that was a direct response to Amazon and kind of something to bolster their arsenal
100% call and response
in the war that we have been describing. On Tuesday, we learned that Walmart had decided to acquire New York-based delivery startup Parcel, a company that specializes in same-day and last-mile deliveries. No deal price was disclosed, although Rico deciding anonymous sources said that it was for less than $10 million. It's a pretty small operation. And Walmart said that it hopes to utilize the startup's network and unique technology to expand deliveries for both Jet and Walmart.com throughout NYC. Operating through its huge warehouse in Brooklyn, Parcel has become adept at scheduling same-day delivery services in a busy metropolitan area and has worked with the now Walmart-owned Bonobos.
Not the monkey.
Definitely not the monkey. Although, maybe that's our next million.
Maybe.
Maybe they're just going to buy a species.
I don't know.
Trained monkeys delivering packages in major metropolitan areas.
PETA would just be like, that's a mess.
Yeah, that's an animal rights mess. Mm. We're going to have to put that on. Maybe robot monkeys, though.
Mm, there you go.
Maybe robot monkeys. That's an idea.
Also, listeners, don't Google bonobos on its own. You get weird pictures. I just want to...
Fair warning. We don't want anybody to...
When you just Google bonobos, it a lot more monkeys pop up than menswear fashion.
So. Interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a Friday morning podcast, so we want to save the surprises. but besides that new Walmart brand, I will also mention that Parcel works with several major meal kit delivery companies, including Martha Stewart's meal kit delivery company. Big fan of Martha Stewart.
So much better.
Is anyone not? I don't think anyone isn't a fan of Martha Stewart.
No.
I remember when she got home from prison and everyone was like, oh my God, she was just the most amazing cellmate. everyone loved her. Yeah, of course. Everyone loves Martha Stewart. And now she's best friends with Snoop Dogg. And that's my favorite best friendship in the entire universe.
Did you watch their TV show?
Yeah, obviously. So the Parcel deal, as we've been kind of hinting at, is the latest in what has been a series of acquisitions related to delivery from Walmart. The Bonobos acquisition, that's mostly e-commerce-based company. And right now, the company is actually currently testing a service in Silicon Valley, or planning to test a service that delivers groceries to your home and then unloads them for you straight to your refrigerator, even when you're not home. Yeah. This is some like serious Big Brother stuff here.
It is.
But they're partnering with a smart lock startup, August Home. That's the name of the startup. And the same day delivery service, Deliv.
Yeah. So just
let amazing. Me just,
yeah. So customers who sign up or like customers who are part of this test right now, they have an app on their smartphone where you can, I'm assuming the app is part of August Home, where they will be able to like literally watch the delivery person enter their home.
So weird.
Walk to the refrigerator, unload the groceries.
It's a real trip. And I will say that the testing probably is the emphasis there, because it's, I would imagine part of it is figuring out whether people can get over the weirdness of it. Because for me, it's like
a little invasive.
Yeah. And for me, it would have to be like, I would have to leave a very specific note about how I like all my groceries to be unpacked.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't just be throwing stuff in my fridge.
No.
It needs to be where it goes.
Has to be organized.
Or I'm going to have to do it when I get home, and then what's the point? So, yeah, this August Home is cool because it's that smart lock, kind of more in-home, bringing that Internet of Things technology into home security, which is a cool idea. And definitely when we're talking IoT on a consumer level, one of the bigger potential markets. I didn't, off the top of my head, I had not thought of the idea of utilizing it to have strangers enter my home to deliver my groceries for me. I guess it kind of makes sense as an application.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how I feel about it. Don't know if I'd be a customer if they expand that service. But I guess overall point here is Walmart is very serious about this same day delivery stuff here and abroad. And as we covered on the show a few months ago, expanding their partnership with JD.com in China to do a 2-hour delivery, utilizing kind of Walmart's brick and mortar real estate there in China and JD's e-commerce presence to allow 2-hour same day delivery. When we're talking about abroad, specifically in Chinese markets, that's something Amazon just like does not have at all and doesn't really have the capability to pull off anytime soon. So there's an advantage there. Here at home, in the home market, you're seeing Walmart have to go after these smaller companies, and instead of a partnership, make these plays happen through mergers and acquisitions. Definitely. So it's been funded. They've been on a spending rampage. And
ever since they bought Jet last year,
it's really been a whole chain of things.
Well, it's really, yes, when they bought Jet, but really when they got Jet's CEO and co-founder, Mark Lohr, who became head of Walmart's e-commerce division. I mean, that was really when it started.
And
Lohr has been a great addition to the company.
Yeah, and it's not been any sort of secret. And I think if you're Amazon, you notice things like this acquisition. You know, it's sub 10,000 or sub 10 million. It's an NYC, mainly NYC only company. It's, as I said, a small operation. I think they have like 7 full-time employees who are now going to be full-time staff members with Walmart, and they're going to be kind of continuing on as Parcel in New York City right now. But more so than actual effect right now in the near term, it kind of underscores Walmart's e-commerce strategy, which is buy. Was that Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Oh, it's NSYNC.
Oh, I get them all
mixed up. Justin Timberlake with his ramen hair in a puppet string music video.
So it's buy, but with a U and a Y, not with the Y-E. So not NSYNC. But anyway, that is what Walmart is doing with delivery this week. Amazon has also been busy doing
trying
new things with delivery services.
It's just so interesting. Like
punch
you said,
for punch. It's like a heavyweight boxing match.
No, it really is. Whenever
they're out here swinging,
whenever each company announces some sort of initiative to their online platform or delivery services, the other one comes to like, us too.
Oh yeah, by the way.
We got, by the way, we got something else. But this is interesting, and I'm not really sure how it's going to play out. But Amazon, thanks to an in-depth report from Bloomberg, Amazon is reportedly testing a program called Seller Flex that would both allow more items from third-party merchants to be listed under the Prime umbrella and also provide delivery services for those sellers on its platform. So Amazon would also take care of picking up these packages from its third-party merchants and deliver these items to customers' homes, potentially eliminating the need for its major delivery partners like UPS and FedEx. Seller Flex was piloted earlier this year on the West Coast, and the company hopes to increase it in 2018, notes Bloomberg. It actually originally, started in India too. And I kind of forget that Amazon has such a huge, a big presence.
Noticeable,
In Southeast Asia. But Seller Flex builds on Amazon's previous delivery improvements, which include fulfillment by Amazon. And this lets merchants ship goods to Amazon warehouses around the U.S. in order to be stored, packed, and shipped out. And there's also something called Seller Fulfilled Prime. This is a program introduced last year that allows sellers to list their products under Prime, even if they aren't stored in Amazon warehouses.
So is that so the difference between these two programs and what Seller Flex is doing is Amazon's now saying, not only can you sell under the Prime umbrella, we'll come get the thing from you and bring it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So shares of both UPS and FedEx were down in response to the news of Seller Flex, although both stocks recovered a bit. FedEx ended basically even on the day on Thursday, while UPS was down about 0.85%. Interesting thing to note, the holiday shopping season is fast approaching, as you and I both know, everyone knows, everyone's likely aware, Black Friday.
It's getting earlier and earlier, too.
And Bloomberg points out that online holiday spending will reach $129 billion in the U.S. this year.
Big, big bucks.
Yeah. This is such an interesting move by Amazon, in my opinion, just to completely, not it, because UPS and FedEx won't be completely eliminated.
No.
They'll still be utilized by Amazon, but not primarily.
Yeah, specifically, like, they're still going to have to be on some level delivering goods from merchants, third-party merchants,
but it's,
that don't use Seller Flex.
Yeah.
You would think this doesn't reach 100% capacity immediately, obviously. But
so it all depends on the nationwide rollout. It's still being tested. But to think of seeing more huge Amazon semis on the road instead of UPS semis, like carrying Amazon goods. So it definitely is a testament to Amazon wanting more control over its logistics process.
I was just going to say, and all of a sudden it's a logistics company too.
Yeah.
Not all of a sudden, but now it's a really, really big logistics
company. And it's just like desire to just have more control over every aspect of its company operations.
Yeah.
And pretty interesting.
Yeah. Some would almost call that like monopolizing it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I don't know. Maybe they're being, those people are cynical or maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, a threat to UPS and FedEx for certain. But shaping up to be a big holiday shopping season in the near term, nonetheless. Yeah. So, and as we know, UPS, FedEx, busy every year around this
time. We depend on them to
definitely
get
heroes, the heroes we need.
Give and send gifts. Mm-hmm. They are holiday heroes.
Shout out to all of our UPS and FedEx employees, I guess, if there are any out there. That just about does it for us this week. Again, we will be definitely coming back to this ongoing online retail war. It's showing no signs of stopping anytime soon. If you feel that we missed anything or if you want us to cover something else, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. And thanks again for joining us. We will see you next time.